Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knock On Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That is JT Holton.
Hi.
I almost called you Rhubarb. JT Rhubarb. It would have been weird. Yeah, it would have been weird.
Never rub because another man's rhubarb.
Because there is Josh Rhubarb Brown right there. Josh, how are you, buddy?
Hello, good to be with you, gentlemen. Again, I've missed both of you.
I like the fact that Josh tonight is wearing full-on hippie headband. Like, he looks like he's a young Willie Nelson, and I mean that in all the worst ways. I'm just saying it. Like, guys, can
Thank
we talk
you,
about
Ken.
The fact Willie Nelson has never been an attractive man at any point in his life, ever?
Are you... Wait, clean cut, short hair, 1950s.
Slick back hair.
He was still ugly. He was still ugly.
He's kind of cute, though.
Josh, I don't trust any of your cuteness meters anymore. You told me this week in a video, you informed me that Schultz was the cutest Braves writer, and then D.O.B., and then who was the next one you had?
I had Schultz number one, D.O.B. number two, Paul Bird number three, Kevin McAlpin number four, Gabe Burns number five.
I'm confused why Grant didn't make the list at all.
Some of those are not writers.
Yeah, Grant's cuter than any of those people.
This was media. Okay. I did do media.
Jeff Francoeur? Have you seen Jeff Francoeur?
Does he follow me on Twitter? I don't think he does. And
Josh
McCauley,
only rates people that follow him.
Macaulay's cuter than any of those people.
He's cuter than any of those people.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind if you think Macaulay's cuter than Paul Bird. You realize he basically looks like
JT. He is like 100% cuter than any of those guys. And I'm sorry, D.O.B. even making your list is an insult. Just because he follows you does not mean he should make the list, much less the second place.
D.O.B.'s cute. No, he's cute. He's got the scruffiness going on and the cigars and the caps and the t-shirts.
He looks like angry old leathery man that's been smoking his whole life.
Because he is an angry old leathery man who's been smoking his whole life.
I expect him to try to sell me a conversion van. You know, like, that's just what I expect. The next thing to be out of his mouth is, hey, would you like to buy a conversion van?
Listen, his politics suck. They're the worst. Is Facebook D.O.B.
It's like his Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah.
Twitter D.O.B. is cool. And then you get on Facebook and he's all like kill Whitey.
Angry.
Like, yeah, like he's full on kill Whitey, you know.
Okay, so you rank, so let me get this straight. You got Schultz number one.
Yeah.
Okay, who is your number two?
Apparently
my number two is D.O.B.
D.O.B., and then you went with Paul Bird.
Birdie, mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I like Birdie.
What was the comedian that got canceled for being
Birdie's
inappropriate?
All of them?
All
of,
yeah.
No. The one that was masturbating or whatever.
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. Jeff Schultz is Louis C.K.
No way. That's a low blow.
He is. He looks exactly like him. Like, they could pass for brothers. If you put Louis C.K., Jeff Schultz, and Jim Gaffigan on stage together, you would say they all came out of the same parents.
No.
You would.
No.
I will agree that Schultz seems to rub out some of his columns every now and then. But I think he's good for the most part. Which Braves media guy do you think you'd have the best, the most fun with playing, like, I don't know, say a round of golf? Like, who would be, like, the guy you'd want to hang out with the most of any of the Braves media? We're talking
McAlpin.
Radio.
I'm gonna go with McAlpin.
Yeah. It's hard not to say McAlpin because we like McAlpin. We love McAlpin.
Yeah.
Ben Ingram's up there.
I think Ingram's way up there, yeah.
He'd be fun.
Ingram seems sneaky fun. Like, he seems really clean cut, really straight and narrow.
I don't think he's
but
as clean.
But I think he's got a fun side
narrow.
To him.
He's a preacher's kid, so he knows how to keep it covered up very well. You know.
And I believe he went to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. I think he did. I think he's got SEC football ties in there, so that's fun. I think Francoeur, man. I think, like, me, Jeff Francoeur, round of golf
and a case of the ninth hole. If you two went Miller to play Light. 18 together, y'all would be so fall down drunk by the ninth hole that you would never make it to the back through the back nine. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because my wife would be there to drive me home, because there's no way my wife is missing getting to look at Jeff Francoeur all day. So,
you know, I gotta if I'm going straight up personalities, I'm a little weird here. But if you put me – okay, this is going to sound weird. Let me rephrase what I was going to say. If you put me on a golf course with Chip Carey and Jerome Jurinovich, mm-hmm. we're having a blast, man. I'm telling you.
I can see that.
I was so about Jerome to say put me in a threesome with Chip Carey and Jerome Jurinovich.
Did he really? And he really? Yeah, Jerome gave me not the unfollow. He gave me the straight up unfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jerome went hardcore on me right there. I don't know what's up with that.
He didn't unfriend me.
Sorry, JJ. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, JJ. My bad.
I noticed JJ had
you know what it was?
Got married and everything.
I bet it was your MAGA cap.
It probably was.
It might have been. I don't know. It might have been. It was a CAG cap. It's a CAG. It's a Keep America Great. It's not a MAGA hat. It's a CAG. It's the new one. It's Keep America Great. It could have been. Might have cost me a friend in JJ. I'm sorry, man. DOB still.
I'm just looking forward.
Let me check.
To
Hold on.
Now.
I think me and DOB are still Facebook friends.
JT Holton is now going to have to publish a video sitting in front of
a
sign.
Apologize.
It says, "I am so sorry for wearing a Trump hat at any point in my life." I believe that
DOB unfriended
matters.
Me too. So. I guess that was it.
That's totally it, man.
That's hilarious. I'm telling you, man, like, they are full on, the left has lost their ever-loving minds. Let me just put it that way. I've seen people canceled this week for wearing a shirt fishing. Let's be real clear. Yeah. Whatever shirt I wear fishing is probably my least favorite shirt, because I want a shirt I can get fish guts on. It's probably a shirt I got for free that somebody was handing out downtown for some reason. I'm just saying.
But even if it wasn't, I've watched.
Even if it wasn't.
Listen.
It doesn't matter.
Honestly, just try. Anyone listening, just try it like one evening at, you know, 6, 7 o'clock. Just try it just for shits and giggles. Tune into OAN. Just see what you think. It is like watching the news from like 1991. It's kind of low budget.
I don't even know where to find it.
It's on DirecTV.
Okay.
It's up there near the Fox News numbers. It's near like the 360 ish. They literally have a guy sit at a desk. This is gonna blow your guys' mind. And he reads the news. And their shtick and their marketing mantra is like, "We read the news." And they just like read the news. It's like, I swear to God. And I think that's provocative. And so, because they have America in their name, I think people think, "Oh my God, Trump, MAGA, MAGA." But I don't know. I'm telling you, they really do. They read the
news. What I love is that if you have America in your name, people associate, "Well,
worst.
They must be bad."
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's America. You live here.
I love how they're like, "Black Lives Matter." They say they said bad things about Black Lives Matter. But I was talking to Josh about this the other day. See, Black Lives Matter, they were genius when they did this. The organization Black Lives Matter is very militant. But the slogan Black Lives Matter is something we can all agree on. But because they named themselves that, now everything gets conflated together. So if you're against Black Lives Matter, the militant, almost anarchical sort of organization, then...
I just pictured like a duck in an African garb with a fist in the air, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, it's like
the, you said
he's like Daffy
it's like
Duck.
That's Boone the weird vision I had.
Daffy
yeah.
Duck.
It's like Boone had a peaceful, and I'm doing air quotes. You guys can't see me. Well, Ken can, but you can't, and listeners can't. But air quotes, a peaceful, you know, racial protest here in downtown Boone, right? and all of our friends went to it, many of which who won't hang out with us because of COVID, but they went to that because, you know, it's peaceful protest. Anyways, I'm not going to call Eric and you know, Danielle out. That'd be weird. But anyways, they went to this peaceful protest and they snapped some Instagram photos after they said they couldn't hang out with us. But anyways, what I'm getting at is the reason I didn't go and didn't get behind it is not because I don't want to support, like, my black friends and, like, support, like, you know, racial equality. It's just totally disingenuous. And yeah. I told Nikki that. And Nikki kind of – she kind of didn't agree with me. But then she agreed with me because I showed her pictures of the event. The paper was there. And so the Watauga Democrat posted all these pictures of the event. And all the signs were, as you just said, militant. Mm-hmm. They were, like, mean. They were, like, you know – silence is violence. Trump is, you know, a white supremacist, like Trump supporters. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, that police. Was the vibe. Yeah. And it's total bullshit. It's very mean. It's not loving. And so then I drove to Georgia and went to church.
Okay. So there's a lot in that statement. We're going to come back to the church thing in just a moment because I think that's worth touching on. But, you know, like I'm all for Black Lives Matter. I think it's important that we understand some things racially in America. Like I'm for that. I'm not for throwing bricks through windows and burning down buildings and, you know, craziness. And people are like, well, they don't listen to silent protest. I'm like, well, silent protest kind of got us to this point. Like, and I know there's some bad things still going on, but you know, most of America can vote and most of America can, you know, pursue any kind of job they want to pursue. And, most Americans can live anywhere they want to. And those seem like pretty good things. And mm-hmm. there's some bad things that happen to some of us, no doubt. Mm-hmm. And there's some terrible people in this world, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, maybe things aren't as bad as we all think. And mm-hmm. maybe we take a few anecdotal stories and turn it into everyone's story. And we all end up in a worse place because outrage is king.
Yeah, you see it in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it just across the board. You know, you take anecdotal evidence and you just, you know, like, you know, three rednecks on Facebook, you know, get salty about Acuna's cap or something or backup,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah, and then everyone's mad.
And then 74,000 people on Twitter tweet about how about
Braves
those three
fans
guys.
Are racist. Yeah, Braves, you know, fans. I mean? All Braves fans are racist because one guy tweeted about Acuna's cap being on backwards. You know.
Yeah, like one guy with like 11 followers. You know, mm-hmm. and so it,
that
and then it's
generous.
All over
yeah.
Twitter for, yeah, it's all over Twitter for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like watching people. I think people are so caught up in extremism to get their identity from it because, like, the only way we can identify ourselves is through, like, this extreme tribal BS. So, like, if you don't know who you are in this world and life's kind of confusing for you, which is, like, everyone over the age of 13 and under the age of 27 and maybe older, you don't really know where life is for you at this point in time. You're searching for identity in tribes and in groups and in the people you connect with. You're looking outward for identity rather than inward because you don't know how to look inward yet in life. You think you know, but you really don't. So you get your identity from your baseball team. You get your identity from the group people you hang out with. You get your identity from being a sorority guy, a sorority girl, or a frat boy, or, you know, from drinking a lot, from whatever. You get your identity externally. But then, like, when everybody else kind of starts to do that too, Josh, I think we get to this place that because everybody's getting their identity externally, then now we're all kind of looking the same because it's all blending together because we're all getting it from out there. And now we have to find out some new extreme to know who we are. So, like, we just keep pushing, trying to find the extreme edges. And anyone that's not at the extreme edge with us, then we can piss on because, you know, mm-hmm. we're better than them and we know who we are because we're extremists. And mm-hmm. I mean, extreme right, extreme
you see it in,
left.
You see it in everything. Everything. Like right now, everybody is like, this is all 100% Rob Manfred's fault.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred is to blame for all of this.
Yep.
All like everybody. And it's just like, it's extreme. It's just like everybody is like, Rob Manfred is
Yep.
And you can't have a conversation with anybody.
And this is what's funny, Josh. When they get to the extremes like that, what you end up with is you end up with them demonizing and glorifying people. Now, what's really hilarious about that is right now Rob Manfred's being demonized, right? But Trevor Bauer is being glorified. Right now, Trevor Bauer is this superhero for the players, right? Now, this is the same Trevor Bauer that last year everyone made fun of because he threw the ball over the center field wall and has been mad at him.
Super impressive.
Yeah, it is super impressive. Right. And then also the same Trevor Bauer that in 2017, he tweeted some stuff about Donald Trump positively, and that pissed a lot of people off.
And I so just now, retweeted his MAGA tweet from 2016.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Because I cannot wait now for people like D.O.B., who we love. I love D.O.B., but he's hyper left. He's gone. He's got full-on turds at this moment. Trump universal retardation derangement syndrome. He has, yeah, that's the right term. He praised Trevor Bauer as being a voice of the players, and now I can't wait until Trevor Bauer tweets something in the coming months saying that Trump should be reelected and these people run from him. Only they've just glorified him, and they don't know what to do. Now they're confused. They have no idea how to handle it. It's going to happen. And those moments are
remember glorious. back in the day when we would watch Greg Maddux pitch? And we had no idea how Greg Maddux voted, and that was totally normal and
no
cool.
One cared. Yeah, yeah.
No one gave a shit. Like, I never once thought, like, I wonder who he voted for. Like, in 1996, I was never like, I wonder if he's Dole or Clinton. Like, yeah. That never crossed my mind. Like, why would I even give a shit?
Social
like,
media has
I don't know.
Ruined everything, hasn't it? Like, yeah. It's done so many good things. Like, I've literally met you guys through social media. I mean, Donahue and John Howard and
Donahue
I mean, really,
met his
like
wife, you know, through social media.
Yeah, but it's
that poor
also,
guy would have never met anyone. Just look at him.
I met
no
Donahue's
chance.
Wife through social media.
Jeff had no chance of meeting a girl face to face and her actually staying with him. And instead, he was able to like work his way in, you know, through his fake persona of being hyper rich and really cool on Twitter. Yeah. And now he's married. You know, because look, that's what we all do. All of us guys figure out how to convince a girl that we're
I mean,
not who we actually
let's be honest. It took a freaking scoreboard to get Jeff married, but you know,
that's true.
It literally,
some help.
It
so,
was the only way he could
I mean,
score was to use the Braves scoreboard.
Right, he needed an airplane and a scoreboard. Other than that, he'd be like hopeless.
That's pretty true.
This is how he is. But yeah, I mean, like I don't know. You're right. It has kind of ruined things in that. Like, we used to not even worry about those kind of things. Like, let that we used to judge the athletes based on their performance on the field. And then maybe every now and then somebody would do something crazy, like Roberto Alomar would spit in an umpire's face, or Albert Bell would, like, beat the shit out of somebody for no reason or something like that. And we'd be like, oh, maybe he's a bad guy. Maybe he's a little crazy. I don't know. But we didn't care.
There was
I mean, we just had
that we thought they, baseball players probably weren't that smart about politics because they play a freaking sport their whole life. You know?
And like, we didn't care what they thought because it didn't affect us, because we were like, who cares what the starting pitcher for so-and-so thinks, or the third baseman for the, whoever.
Why do we give a crap what shirt Mike Gundy wears fishing? Like, seriously,
why does anyone care? Here's why. Because there's a spectrum, and on one end you have, let's just say, on the far left you have, I don't know, Black Lives Matter or something. On the far right, you got Trump, and then there's a middle ground. If you're anywhere on the other side in between that middle and Trump, which is what OAN is basically, you are a racist, white supremacist piece of shit. And so like that's what that means.
Did you see
so
the guy this week that tweeted that we all – like any conservative doesn't need to be allowed to air their views and that they all need re-education training? Like, there was a literal check mark on Twitter that said this. Like, what in the world, people? You've lost your ever-loving minds, you know? Oh, my God. I'm sad for America. Not because I want everybody to be conservative or even think like me. It's because we used to be able to think different and be okay with each other because
we used to have like Democrats, Republicans.
Absolutely.
It was all gravy. It's always been a little divided, you know, whatever.
And
but
you
this
might
is,
have a little fight with your buddy talking about it. And then tomorrow you were perfectly fine with your buddy and you all went, you know, to lunch together. But now, oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
And now JT's being defriended by Jerome. So sad.
Jerome. Yeah, what the hell? You know, we used to not even care or not even know where our friends voted or what they thought about things. You know what I mean? Like,
I saw someone,
like an issue.
I saw someone tweet a picture and said that Jason Whitlock, y'all know Jason Whitlock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Said Jason Whitlock joining Fox Sports 1 with Clay Travis was the equivalent of a black man joining the KKK. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, first of all, Clay Travis is a liberal, you idiots. Like, he is not even conservative. He's just telling you people that you're insane. You've lost your ever-loving minds. Like, Clay Travis, if you listen to anything he says, he's pretty much all liberal in every freaking policy that he has. He just thinks that ESPN's gone insane with their wokeness, and he's 100% right. I can't stand it anymore. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to bang head on desk. So for something that doesn't make you want to bang your head on the desk and instead wants you to bang your head through the desk, let's talk about baseball, fellas. Or the lack thereof.
Lack thereof. Yeah, wow.
Rob Manfred, full on. Rob Manfred right now is a little bipolar. One day he's saying 100% baseball. The next day he's saying, I'm not sure we're going to have baseball. And then the next day he said, oh, yeah, back to 100%. We're definitely going to have baseball. What in the world is going on, fellas?
I don't think his comment about what was his exact quote? He said that he doesn't think that having a season is likely. Is that the quote he had, I think, 2 days ago or some of that? I don't know if he really believes that. And I don't know how much of that is him trying to use the media to speak to the players' union.
Yeah.
You know, using the media as a voice to negotiate and posture. Yeah. I mean, and that's typical bargaining. Here's the problem, though. Quit bargaining in public and quit doing this posturing where the other sports are like, hey, here's when we start back.
Yeah.
You know, like NHL's in their phase two where guys are practicing and NBA's already set their date for when they're coming back and they've already set the framework for how they're doing everything and how the rest of the season's going to be structured. And then everybody's looking at baseball and it's like, you guys look like idiots. You all look like dummies that can't get this right. Like,
which is nothing new.
You had just as much time. It's nothing new. But we knew, because we said this like 3 months ago, baseball is going to screw this up.
Yeah.
Baseball has an opportunity to get it together and be the first people back on TV and have the audience of a nation that's starved for sports all to themselves. And we said, they're going to screw this up. And everyone knew they were going to screw this up.
And here they
are, screwing it up.
I said on the podcast, and I hate that I said it because I'm sure that's what made it happen, but I said I don't think owners actually want to play ball because of the risk of COVID-19, not because it's all that scary of a disease, but can you imagine Brian Snicker getting COVID-19 and dying? Can you imagine one of your star players, say, let's see, Albert Pujols, you know, somebody who catches every injury that comes by, gets COVID-19 and dies, right? Can you imagine the lawsuit and the PR mess and everything tied into what the players' union would demand, the compensation they would demand, all the subsequent risk factors? Look, my biggest thing about this entire thing and the way it's been handled on Twitter by news media and by quote bloggers and everyone really is they oversimplify what the owners are doing and they act like the owners are just stupid and greedy and that they just want to save a few million dollars here on this season and that's what owners are doing. I don't doubt that owners are greedy. Don't get me wrong. But these guys are billionaires for a reason. They've learned that they've lived their entire life gambling on risk. So they look at situations, figure out what the risk of that situation getting better or getting worse is, and they gamble on the ones that they think have the biggest success opportunity. I mean, that's how these guys got rich, 100%. So in baseball, they're not worried about gaining or losing a few million, even a few hundred million dollars. This is a play for something much larger. And if writers and players don't recognize that, they're going to get screwed again, because the owners are not just – I swear I'm so tired of seeing the argument that they're just wanting to save money. Well, maybe that's some of it, but that's not the point. I guarantee you that is not why this entire thing is going on. Like, there's no reason for them to have this big a deal about something if it were just saving even – 50 or 250 or even $500 million. Like, there's no reason for them to freak out about it with the kind of money they're making. This is about posturing for the future CBA. This is about posturing to keep their books closed so that players can't know exactly what they're making. This is about risk management of PR disaster of someone in their league dying of COVID. I think there's also something to be said of the risk implied of playing a game that people already find taxing and maybe a little bit boring at times, especially people that aren't hardcore baseball fans. When you take away the entire interesting culture of the game by saying no high fives, no sitting near each other, no being in the stands, no fans in the stands, all this kind of stuff, you could detrimentally hurt your brand far more than you could help it, even though the opportunity is there. I'm not taking the owner's side in this. There is definitely greed in that kind of thing. I'm just saying, to simplify it down and say this is just owners being petty, that's an insufficient argument, and that's stupid to think about in a billion-dollar, you know, $10 billion, $20 billion organization. Like, it's asinine to think that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also, I have a, aside from everything you just laid out, Kenny, I have a hard time just being one of the zillion on Twitter who just puts all of the emotion into hating Rob Manfred right now, because to me it's like, we're a year removed from Scott Boras's stupid free agent spring training. You know what I mean? Like, We're just a year removed from that, and even back then, I will concede that most people who are tweeting about how Rob Manfred's the worst right now are actually people who took the owner's side last year. So at least they are consistent. But, you know, someone tweeted at me in DOB yesterday about Rob Manfred being the worst thing to happen to baseball, and I replied and I said, listen, no one's poo-pooed on Manfred more than we have. And me, and I mean, I call him Rob Manturd, and we talk all kinds of junk about the goober, you know. But I think Scott Boras has been worse for baseball than Rob Manfred in a lot of ways. And so, I mean, we're just a year removed from basically players just bitching and moaning and holding out and, you know, almost threatening not to come to work because, like, you know, $200 million isn't enough, right? Mookie Betts is expected to get like $400 million. I'm sorry. I have a hard time.
Yeah.
Listen, here's who I feel for. I feel for a lot of young players. I feel for minor league players. I feel for the Mike Sorokas and the Max Fries. A lot of those kind of guys who don't have these long-term deals yet, maybe. I feel bad for the media guys. Like, anybody who works for the Athletic, those guys. Like, I feel bad for the industry. I really do. Ticket sales people. I mean, all those people that just the minutia of that makes an organization tick. But I have a hard time feeling bad for a lot of the players and the agents. I just don't, man. Like, shut the fuck up. You've been bitches for years and years and years. Has Manfred and have the owners been a little bit disingenuous here and there? A little bit, I'll give you that. 100%
they have. Yeah.
But two proposals ago, I thought was a really good one. The scaling proposal, where like they would they'd take the money from the top to pay the guys on the bottom. Like, I thought that was fantastic, and you guys were fucking bitches about it. Mm-hmm. Excuse my language. I'm trying to stop cussing. I went to church Sunday. But anyways, I just don't feel bad for these goobers anymore. I don't. I have a really hard time feeling bad for them right now. I do. They're zillionaires. I don't want to ever hear ever that, you know, yeah, but the owners are billionaires. Of course they're billionaires, you freaking idiots. They run sports organizations. They are billionaires, yes, but this other guy makes $20 million bucks a year for pitching every fifth day, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time, you know. I feel like I can kind of say this without scrutiny because I've got a very clean record of poo-pooing on Rob Manfred. You can check my tweets. But right now, I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's a goober and doesn't answer things appropriately, and he hasn't played his cards correctly, and maybe he's being sly here and there. But Scott Boras and that whole clan has been worse for baseball, in my opinion, over the last 20 years sure. than Rob Manfred has.
Yeah, and I like nothing about Rob Manfred. He's been a terrible commissioner, and I think absolutely. Most of the things he's done have been atrocious to the game. That being said, I don't think he's an idiot. And that's the part that I don't get is people saying Manfred's just an idiot. No, there's a very intentional strategy that's going on here. And I just don't think he's the dummy that everybody wants to make him out to be. And I think if you perceive him as a dummy right now, it's because he wants to be perceived that way. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's totally bumbled. Maybe he's a bumbling idiot and I'm just completely deceived. But I just don't believe you get to that position and be a bumbling idiot. Just saying. What do you think, JT?
No, you don't.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's like when people say the president is an idiot. And I'm not saying that about Donald Trump. I'm saying about people who say that about Obama.
Yeah.
You don't become president by being stupid. Like,
right.
You got to be smart enough. Like, unless you're Rutherford B. Hayes. I don't know. Seems like a random president to make fun of. You don't become commissioner of a major sport by being dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be a bright guy. I mean, check out Rob Manfred's resume. I bet there's a couple law degrees on there that from some nice universities. I have no idea. But I'm just betting if you pulled up his Wikipedia, you'd be impressed by his educational background.
Yeah.
Bottom line, unfairly or unfairly, he's going to take a lot of heat from this because he's the commissioner of the league that may or may not play ball this year.
Right.
And if they don't play ball, if the NBA plays ball and NHL plays ball and Major League Baseball doesn't, then fairly or unfairly, Rob Manfred's going to take a lot of the heat because he's one guy in the position of commissioner. So he's going to take a substantial amount of heat from people, whereas with the players, it's kind of spread apart, you know, amongst everybody. So that's just part of what happens, you know, when your league goes on strike or you know, when they, you know, lock out or however you want to phrase it. I mean, whatever they want to do. I don't think any of us know enough of the inner workings of what really is going on to accurately place blame on whoever. But Manfred's the easy target. Manfred's the easy target because he's come up with such dumb proposals to the point where you're like, is he like a secret agent? Like, is he employed by the NFL to come in and wreck baseball? Like, is that what he's doing? So he's an easy target to hate on. But look, if baseball fails to play this year, then the blame has to go around to everybody because it's not just Rob Manfred. It's not just Blake Snell. There's going to be a whole bunch of people, Scott Boras included, that, I mean, it's going to be an epic failure. If other sports franchises are able to come back and play and give the fans something this year and baseball just sits there and goes, well, sorry, you know, like, come on, like, we're desperate for sport. We're desperate for a distraction. We got people burning down freaking Wendy's in Atlanta. We got race riots. We've got protests. We've got a pandemic. Just give me some damn baseball so for, like, 3 hours a night I can be distracted by the real world stuff that's going on and have some freaking fun. And I'm tired of watching Jeopardy and, like, old sports games from, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm tired of watching what's the cornhole championships on ESPN2? Give me a real sport to watch. That's all we're asking. Just play some damn baseball so I can have some escapism. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's all we're asking. And it's ridiculous.
And this is the thing. I think a lot of the people blaming Manfred right now are refusing to look at the fact that this is a story that's been written for the past 10 years in baseball. It's a story that doesn't – it's not just the owner said, oh, it's 2020 and COVID's here, so we're going to be pain in the butt and create this problem. Yeah. No, this is – it's like Josh said. What was it, 2 years ago, Josh, that they were predicting, and it didn't end up this way because of some injuries and stuff, but they were predicting that there would be $4 billion spent on free agents? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it was supposed to be
insane.
Bryce Harper and Andrew McCutchen and Clayton Kershaw and all these people were supposed to come off at the same time, and some of them signed at contract extensions, and some ended up injured and little things. But still, you're talking about that level of money. And it's and you got players holding out halfway through the season because owners refuse to pay them like $35 million for a single season. And I'm like, I would refuse that too. I don't care how much money I'm making off of you. There's a point of stupid return, and we are past the point of stupid return, you know.
And we're also operating in a time too when the media is really stupid.
Yeah.
But also, not only are they stupid, but they control people like they've never controlled them before. I mean, the control they have over people, it is astounding. And so in this situation, you have actual baseball media members who like Jeff Passan, Joel Sherman, like a lot of those guys, who Keith Law, who will literally write articles and tweet things about basically throwing shade at the billionaires for being billionaires.
Yeah.
And
just
so
because they make a lot
of
money. Yeah.
Right. And so and they write these things and they tweet these things either literally or they imply that millionaire baseball players should make more, should basically make as much as the owners because without baseball players, there's no baseball. They're that stupid. And so when you're that dumb.
It's full on socialism is what it's going to.
They're so stupid. I mean, so stupid. And they're loud. And they have a lot of followers. And so when they tweet these things, when they write these things, people believe it. And so that's why you have, you know, tons of Braves fans right now on Braves Twitter who are fantastic people. But they just, they see these things and they just think that, like, that because, you know, Jeff Passan said this thing that it's true.
Yeah.
And that's the way that things should happen. And baseball players don't make enough. That's total bullshit. Total bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right. And the thing about it is it's the subtlety of it. It's the unannounced, the background setting that they put their stories in, that the assumptions they make in the stories, that's dangerous. The assumption that the players should own the league. Well, I mean, that's actually communist, you know. And I'm not sitting here like with some kind of deep, scary plot. I'm saying that's not capitalism is the point here. And we are in a capitalist society. That's not how things work. And let's be 100% clear. Even in communist societies, that's not how things work. But that's the assumption that that's how things work. It sounds like we're trying to make this like really deep and like conspiracy theory level. And I'm not. I don't think these people are even aware they do it. I think they basically take their cues from other systems, whether it's the educational system that they came through, or whether it's just other writers, or whether it's just even politics and some of the things happening there. It creates this narrative, though, that rich people bad, these other people, who are also rich, by the way, are good, you know, cheer for the ones with less. And I'm like, cheering for the ones with less is sometimes stupid. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. You know?
Yeah.
Just saying. My hero is rarely the person that had no money. I'm just saying. Josh, so you went to church?
Okay.
You went to church?
yeah, man.
I know it's not your first visit. You've gone to churches before. I'm very
I have been, but I've been, this is like my, maybe my third or fourth time.
Okay.
In like 10 years.
Nice.
Maybe my fifth time. I would say five. Because I did go, I went with the in-laws for Christmas. They go to a Methodist church down in Noonan.
Okay.
Called the church of Noonan or the church at Noonan.
Ah. Okay.
That's church super, in Noonan?
That's like the cool thing now. Like the church plants, like the, mm-hmm, the church, mm-hmm, at.
Like, it's like the church at Ephesus, whatever, the church at Rome, the church at, yeah.
Or just a one-word church. Like, there's one in town called Stone Edge. Like, called Stone Edge. Like, what does that mean? I have no idea.
Like Mosaic. That's a hot one, too.
Right, yeah, it now. Is. Mosaic is a hot one. Yeah. Yeah. You know, then there's, like, in Atlanta, they've got, like, 12 Stone. 12 Stone.
Passion. Yeah. Passion City.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, see how odd you can get the name to be, and then it's kind of attractive and brandy, and we can brand it to ourselves, and we don't have to be like, you know, like all the other churches. I kind of get it, but it's still...
There's, mm-hmm, there's brandy?
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my brother and sister-in-law, Chrissy... Hang on. I hear my wife.
She come and get you?
Oh, she's on the phone, I guess.
If we're quiet, we can hear her too.
So they go to like Southern Baptist churches, but not like the kind you're probably thinking of if you're listening. Not like Woodstock First Baptist. These are like these little small like white churches, and by white I mean like the paint on the building. By the way, just don't freak out.
It works both ways.
Yeah, you're gonna have to clarify right now. But yeah, and so I've been four times with them, and first time, like, I don't know, I didn't really know what I thought. It was kind of weird, and then the second time it was okay, and then the third time was enjoyable, and then I enjoyed this time. I did. Chrissy got up and testified, and the music was great. They don't do any marketing at all. It's very organic. They don't like. There's no praise and worship band. Not throwing shade if mm-hmm. people have one, that's fine. But I find it very, very refreshing and very American, very
traditional.
I don't know, very traditional.
Josh likes the traditions. I hear you.
Yeah.
You're a hippie through and through. You're a hipster through and through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that some of these some of the new churches, especially hipster oriented, I bet you'd love this. They're into doing like
these are definitely not hipster churches, by the way. These guys are like country farmers with guns on their sides. Nice. these churches.
Some of these new hipster churches though are doing like old school like Celtic hymns and different things. And so it's like I'm talking like hymns from like the 1400s and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of interesting and neat. You know, I don't really know what it has to do with church, but it's kind of neat. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm glad you went to church, Josh. That's nice. Cool.
I might go again.
I hear you, buddy.
What does the church feel about that?
Did they like you? They like me. They do. They like me.
Do you know anyone that actually doesn't like Josh that actually meets him? Like, I'm not talking about people on Twitter.
Yeah. Savannah? Is that her name?
Oh, that's true. But she's not a real neighbors.
Person. Oh, okay.
Oh, by the way, I've got so much to talk about. Oh, that's a whole... Oh, guys. Okay, so remember the wedding? Remember the wedding with the masks? And I went to Georgia because... So Nikki was officiating Savannah's sister's wedding. Caroline and Ryan, they came up and got married here where we live because their venue shut down because of COVID or something. So, and they announced about a month ago that they were going to have masks at the wedding. It was going to be a requirement. And they put out this thing. It was like, spread love, not germs. Da-da-da-da-da. At which point I was like, Nikki, I'm out. I can't do it because I'm going to be an asshole. And like, they don't need that on their wedding day, right? And so Nikki's like, I fully agree. You should probably go. And so me and Brentley went to Georgia for the weekend. And also, I told Nikki, I was like, they're full of crap. The reason they're doing this mask thing, this is not genuine. They just want pictures of the masks. Mm-hmm. She's like, that's not true. That's not true. They're being, you know, they feel like they just feel like they need to do it. I'm like, bullshit. we're outside in the mountains at 3,500 feet. Like, it's beautiful. There's only like 18 people at the wedding. You know, like, come on. They're full of crap. They want pictures of the mass. She's like, that's not true. Y'all. I get back and Nikki had the worst weekend of her life. Oh. She is done with these people. And she's like, they handmade the masks and they were all matching. And they had, you know how like at weddings you'll have like a photo booth sometimes? Y'all, they had a photo booth where you had to put the mask on, take a photo of yourself with the mask and with a Polaroid, and then put that Polaroid on this thing, this like canvas thing.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you're right. They just wanted pictures of the masks. And then after the wedding, they all go and they eat. They had an outside like a reception thing with food and everything and some dancing. No masks. Everybody's totally normal, operating like normal human beings.
Yeah. Our world's just a bunch of fake BS now. It's what it is. That's all it is. Everybody's fake posturing to try to convince everybody else that they're something that they're not, you know.
Yeah, look how good of citizens we are. Look at us being good citizens. I bet we're being better citizens than you guys are.
Yep.
Look at us. Oh, man. I wish I was at that wedding so I could just club people in the kneecaps. Not your wife. Everyone else.
Hey, have you fellas ever used a Arctic brand cooler? Like I've got a tumbler here.
I think I had one.
I'm interested because they're more affordable than Yeti, right?
Yeah, much. Somebody.
Oh, every cooler is more affordable than Yeti.
We gifted, donated some money to a charity that we work with, the 516 Project, and because we donated some money, they sent us a tumbler, and it's an Arctic tumbler, and I made coffee over an hour ago now, and this coffee will still almost burn me when I drink it. It's wonderful. I love it. It's
Arctic,
and it'll do ice the same way. Like if I put cold water in it, like 5 hours later, the ice will not have melted at all, and it'll be full. It's really cool. Anyway,
I think I had an Arctic at some. I do have a Yeti, which I got like 5 years ago, and still have. It's covered in stickers, and it stays in the back of my truck because I'm a walking Luke Bryan song, but it works. Like Yetis are a pain in the butt to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you have ice and drinks in them, they're like 75 pounds, but they do work. I mean, you get your money's worth out of it. Like I'll probably have it for the next 10 years 20 years, I mean, because it's indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you know, it's all about what you want to pay for.
I've heard Yetis.
I'm fine with a good igloo, an igloo cooler.
I've been told
me,
Yetis are just overpriced.
Sure they are. You're buying the name. You're buying
brand
the name
stuff.
Brand. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, right. That there's a lot better stuff out there. I don't know.
I got it on sale. I knew a buddy that was a manager at a place that sold them. He gave me like 20% off, so I didn't like pay full price or anything. And again, I paid like $100 for it years ago, and I still have it. So it's just like one of those things when you load it down, like you need a friend to like help you.
Yeah,
lug it around because it's so dang heavy.
I feel like Josh and JT and Ashlyn would all have Yetis because, you know,
if Yeti endorsed me, I would
100%. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was getting at. Mm-hmm.
But you don't just get the Yeti; you get the Yeti, and then you get the Yeti koozie, and then you have a sticker that says Yeti
on your
truck.
You
get the Yeti hat.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's like a Yeti lie. So and people are like, I'm like complaining because I'm like, oh, I hate taking it to Athens because, like, I can't lug it around. And they're like, well, it's meant to go, like, bear hunting. And I'm like, yes, but 99.9% of the people that buy a Yeti are not going bear hunting. They're buying it to keep their drinks cold.
Maybe they're looking – maybe you're thinking the wrong kind of bear, JT. Maybe they're looking for gay guys.
This is true. And then again, Athens, great spot for it.
That's
but
right.
Why can't they just put wheels on these jokers? If the cooler's going to weigh, like, 40 pounds.
Is there anything
just put some
in
dang
life
wheels?
That putting wheels on doesn't make it better?
Guitar.
Oh, that's a good point.
No, Josh, if you put wheels on a guitar, it would be 100% better. Think of the things you could do.
A gun.
But seriously, have you never seen a cannon?
Okay, all right. Cannons are kind of cool.
I'm telling you, putting wheels on a thing makes it better, right?
No.
Wheels on a bed.
A girl.
Better.
A butt. A nice butt.
Could you imagine, though, if it just had wheels on the side and you could, like, flip it back and forth?
Dear, what's happening?
It's better, right? Better. 100% better.
No, Ken, it's not.
I don't know.
I think you need to settle down about the wheels thing. I think this is a weird hill to die on.
I'm just saying, most things in life have wheels that make them better. Just saying.
No, books, banjos, asses, coffee mugs, dogs.
Have you never seen little dogs with like no legs on the back with the little wheels? Doesn't that make them like cuter? 100%.
No.
It does. Not it 100% at all. Does make them cuter. Yeah, 100%. I mean,
what is wrong with you?
I'm just saying, if wheels make things look better, I'm just saying, it does. That's going to do it for this week's Knock on Home Nation. That's going to do it for this week's Knock on Home Nation podcast show. Thanks for hanging out. If you would like to support the show, we sure could appreciate it. We sure would appreciate it. I think I've forgotten how to talk, fellas. At this point, I'm just going to shut up and let the announcer guy talk because he does a lot better job than me.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.